James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. All right, let's look here at verse 14. That's where we're at. Clayton covered verses 1 through 13 last week in chapter 2. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 14, and I'm going to take it down through the end of chapter 2. So let's look at this. Verse 14, James 2:14. It says, "What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith, but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Hey, parents, those of you who are parents in here and you've raised kids, how many of you ever had your kids try to pit you against each other? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here try it when you were a kid? I tried it. Mom and Dad, I was not good whenever I tried to do that. But kids will try to pit Mom and Dad against each other. And many people have tried for centuries to pit this text in James against the Apostle Paul's teachings. The Apostle Paul gave us 13 books of the New Testament, more than any other author. Some of you are new to the Christianity, you're new to exploring Christianity, you're new to the Bible, and so you don't really understand any of that. That's okay. All you need to know is the Apostle Paul gave us more books than any other person. He gave us 13 out of 26 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 of them. James wrote just this one. Although he's mentioned, though, in Acts. But he gave us this one. But people try to pit James, what we just read, against Paul and his teachings. And here's what they say. They say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, believed in salvation by faith alone, that we are forgiven of our sins, we're brought into a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross, he rose from the dead. You just put your faith in Jesus and you're saved. And then they say, but James taught salvation by faith plus works. You've got to work for it. Well, I don't buy that. And it doesn't make sense for several reasons. Number one, we have to remember Paul and James knew each other. They worked together at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. It was at the Jerusalem Council where they were discussing the Old Testament law and all that and how it pertained to Gentiles. Peter stood up at the Jerusalem Council and he said this. I'll bring it up on the screen. He said, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved." Now, Peter said that. James agreed to that. And Paul was there. And so they're all there, right? And they came to an agreement there at the Jerusalem Council. It wasn't ugly at all. They all worked together. They came together and decided that they would not put the Jewish law on Gentile believers. So that's the first reason I don't buy that there's a contradiction between James and Paul. The second reason I don't buy that there's a contradiction is because they knew each other. And so because they knew each other, they would have mentioned each other by name in their writings if there was a serious doctrinal difference on the matter of salvation. The Apostle Paul does mention James in Galatians chapter 2, but not in a negative way. He calls him a pillar of the church. And so the thing is this, if you know Paul, who wrote 13 books, you know Paul did not hesitate to call people out by name. if they were off, especially concerning the gospel. He said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than I've preached to you, let him be cursed, right? And so Paul was not shy. He was not bashful about calling people out by name, naming them by name. And so if he thought James was teaching some kind of a false heretical salvation to a bunch of people, Paul would have definitely called out James. James doesn't call out Paul. Paul doesn't call out James. You remember Paul even called out Peter for some bad behavior. Y'all remember that in Galatians 2? He calls out Peter. So Paul wouldn't have hesitated to do that. He doesn't do that. The third reason why I don't buy there's a contradiction is because if there was a true contradiction between Paul and James, the early church would not have accepted both Paul and James' writings as inspired scripture, but they in fact did not see a contradiction and included them both in the canon of scripture. All right, that's my lecture on why I don't think there's a contradiction. All right, so I just thought I'd start out with that. All right, so I don't think the problem is a contradiction between James and Paul. It's our understanding that's the problem. I don't think they were confused. I think we get confused. And so we need Holy Spirit clarity. So, question. Have you ever watched a movie and got confused during the movie and thought, this doesn't make sense? Do I not do it almost every movie? She gets so frustrated because I pause it and rewind and I go, what is going on? I think it's because my mind, I don't know how they have died. They didn't diagnose kids like that when I was, but I probably would have been diagnosed with some kind of thing because my mind's just going in a million different directions. And so I'll like be like, what's going on? Why is he going there? Why is she talking to him? What's going on? I thought they were married. And Denise is like, pay attention, Dan. My family gets so frustrated with me with movies. So I think most of us in here, though, have watched a movie and gotten confused. So what's the problem? Is the problem with the guy who wrote the script? Is that the problem? I mean, maybe. Maybe he was drunk or high when he wrote the script, right? I doubt it. I doubt if the problem is with the author of the script. I have a feeling the problem is with us. We lack understanding. We lack clarity. And so here's the deal. I just have always taken this approach, all right? I have a great deal of confidence in the Bible after studying it for 30-something, 40-something years. So I have a lot of confidence in this book. And so I think that we need to be really cautious about claiming that there's contradictions in the Bible, okay? Because the problem may just be our lack of understanding. I mean, if we get confused during an hour and a half or 2 hour movie, then who's to say we aren't confused reading a book that is this thick, okay? We can get confused. So the problem isn't with God, it's not with the Bible. My approach is always this. If I read something and I'm scratching my head, my first thought is not, oh, there's a problem with the Bible. My first thought is there's a problem with my understanding. And so I just give the Bible the benefit of the doubt that way. And I've found through the years when I do that and I pray and I seek God and I cross-reference Scripture with Scripture and I really dig in and I really study, sure enough, there is not a contradiction in the Bible. Now, having said all of that, if all you did was a surface reading of this text in James that we're going to study and some of Paul's stuff that he wrote, if all you did was just a quick surface reading, I can see why people think there is a contradiction. And it's because of the confusion of a few words that James uses. And again, it's our confusion, not James's confusion, it's our confusion. He understood exactly what he meant when he wrote it, but we read our preconceived ideas into words like justified and saved. We read our own meanings and thoughts into those words. But Paul and James are on the same page. They both believed in faith and they both believed in good works. They believed that they go hand in hand. Both of them taught this, and I want you to get this statement. It's a key statement in your handout. I want you to get this statement. It says, a faith in Jesus, both Paul and James taught this, a faith in Jesus, a living faith, results in loving actions and living works. A true faith in Jesus, a living faith, results in loving actions and living works. Now, the focus of James is not, please hear me now, the focus of James, you've got to get this, the focus of the book of James is not how to be saved in the sense of how to get to heaven. James is not writing about a salvation from your sins type of initial faith. He's writing to believers. He's writing to people who already know Jesus. They're being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's writing to encourage these believers to stay faithful, to overcome temptation. And James is focusing on our everyday living faith. Just, and let me go back to Paul for a minute. Just as clear as Paul was about salvation from our sins coming through faith in Christ alone. And he was very clear that our salvation from our sins, what brings us into a right relationship with God, he said we are saved by faith without works. He says we are saved by grace through faith without works. Another place he says we're saved by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul taught that we are saved, we are brought into a right relationship with God by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead the third day. He ascended to the right hand of God on high. He is able to save, to bring into a right relationship anybody who will simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. Paul was very clear on that, but hold on. He was just as clear that faith in a living Christ, faith in a resurrected Christ, should result in good works. So I want you to look in your handout at Ephesians 2:10 and look what Paul said. This is Paul now, not James, this is Paul. Paul said, for we, he's talking to believers, we are his workmanship, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's when you got saved, you were made a new creature in Christ. So that's talking about salvation. And he just got done talking about that in verses 8 and 9, that we're saved by grace through faith. And he says, we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should, those last three words are important, so that we should what? Walk in them. Walk in what? Talk to me. Walk in what? Walk in good works. Look at the next verse, Titus 3:8. Again, Paul. He's writing to Titus now. And I'm just giving you two examples. I could go on and on. I'm just giving you two strong verses. Okay, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you constantly to affirm. So that those who have believed in God, there's your faith. Those who have believed in God, he says, in other words, Christians, people who are believers, so that those who have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. Why? Because these things are good and, now that's a key word, profitable, because James, you notice he used that word twice in the text we just read that we're going to cover today, profitable. James uses the same word. These things, good works, are good and profitable to everyone. So they're on the same page. In your handout it says, it's faith in Jesus that begins our spiritual journey. And then it says, Paul also taught that we walk by faith, not by sight. So if you look up here, I'm going to kind of use the cross as an analogy here. As faith in Jesus, faith in the finished work of Christ, this is what gets you out of the starting blocks. This is what gets you out of the gate. When you put your faith in Jesus, that initial faith is what brings you into a right relationship with God. It's what forgives you of your sin. So faith in Jesus gets you out of the starting blocks on your Christian life. But then Paul said, faith doesn't stop right there. He says, no, we walk by faith, not by sight. Are y'all with me? Say amen. So if you look at the screen, I'm just going to show you a couple excerpts here from Paul. So let's bring it up. Let's go ahead and go to the next one there. Next screen, please. Well, okay. I thought I had it there. Okay, there it is. So these are some excerpts from Paul. Paul said, we what? We walk by faith, not by faith. He's writing to Christians, to believers. And then the next one he says, the just shall what? Live by faith. And then the next one, Ephesians 6, remember the armor? He tells believers every day we need to take the what? Shield of faith, right? Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Same thought in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, put on the breastplate of faith. So this is all written to Christians. So in your handout, it says that Paul taught that, yes, the Christian life begins by faith in Jesus, but then he taught that we need a daily, ongoing, growing faith in Jesus. And that, now look up here. That's what James is talking about. That's the focus of James. James is going to, he's not talking about that initial faith over here. James is focusing on that everyday faith. This week, I was going home, and I was going down Madeline. And I'll cut through Madeline to get up to Reed Canal, which our subdivision's off there. So I was going down Madeline, and I was telling Denise about this last night. It was funny because I was going home. I was going down Madeline, and there was this guy outside, big guy, with his dog. And it was a big dog. And I'm not kidding you. The dog was so strong that normally you take your dog for a walk. The dog was taking the man for a walk. I lie not. The dog was in the lead, and the man was going. And I looked over. I started laughing, and I actually said out loud in my car by myself, that looks relaxing. I actually said that out loud. I said, that looks relaxing. I would love to know every day I got to get up and do that, you know. It was so funny. But you know what hit me when I saw that? I said, I'm going to use that Sunday as an illustration. That is exactly what religion does with the subject of good works. Religion makes good works the lead dog. And they put good works out in front as if it should be leading the way. And that's wrong. Faith always leads the way. From Genesis to Revelation, faith leads the way. Faith is what initiates. Faith leads the way. Faith is the lead dog. But good works follow behind true faith. That's the way it should be. And as long as you keep in mind James's audience, that he's writing to Jewish persecuted believers about their daily faith, then this text is super helpful. It's a great text. You don't need to avoid it. It's awesome. But you got to look at it through the correct lens. You know, the Bible's all about context. Because people talk about contradictions in the Bible, and almost 9 times out of 10, their contradiction is they've taken something out of context. So what do we learn from James about how to apply our faith daily? Because that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the initial faith that brings you into a right relationship with God. They already had that. What does James have to say about that daily ongoing faith? How do we apply our faith daily? Have you ever noticed on the outside, and I saw this morning over in the office, so I brought it over. Have you ever noticed on the outside of a tube or a bottle, like this is icy hot pain relieving cream? Have you ever noticed that it'll say apply as directed? You ever notice that? This says that. You know, use only as directed. Apply only as directed. And you know, that's important. Because this is similar to the icy hot cream. It's called capsaicin arthritis pain relief. I got a picture of it there too to kind of enlarge it, but I've actually got a real tube here from the house. This capsaicin, I don't know how else to say this other than you've heard of, like, you know, icy hot cream or Bengay. This is icy hot cream on steroids right here. Capsaicin has like cayenne pepper in it, and it's got red hot stuff in it that's supposed to really penetrate into your muscles. This stuff has got to be from the devil, let me tell you. Denise put some of this on me one time because I was complaining of a muscle ache in my shoulder. She put some of that on me, and when you go in the sun, it magnifies how hot it is. I had on a tank top in the summer. She put some of that on me, and she used the rolling kind, which we'd always use the cream, and you can see the white cream going on, and you know how much you have on you. She said, oh, I got this rolling kind. Well, she couldn't see because it's just rolling on there. It's clear. She couldn't see, so she just thought, well, man, more is better, so she just kept rolling. I said, are you sure you're supposed to put that much on? She says, I don't see anything. I just need to keep putting some more on. I'm not kidding you guys. It was like somebody took a red hot poker out of a fire and branded me right there. Just put that poker right on my shoulder. I was hollering and screaming. This stuff, capsaicin. One time when Clayton's our middle son, he preached last week. Those of you who don't know, you're new. Clayton's our middle son, and he was leading the worship over here on the keyboard. He preached last Sunday. When Clayton was a little boy, he came into the bathroom to brush his teeth, and this was on the sink. He wasn't paying attention. He grabbed this, put it on his toothbrush, and he started brushing his teeth with this. There was weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. He started hollering and screaming. Ah! Denise comes in, what's wrong? I mean, he's just brushing his teeth. What's wrong? That toothpaste is hot. And she looked, and he'd brushed his teeth in capsaicin. Can I submit to you, Clayton learned an important lesson that day. Use only as directed. Apply as directed. Amen? So how do we correctly apply our faith in Jesus on a daily basis? That's the subject of James 2. All right? So let's begin reading in verse 14 again. Let's look at it again now with that background. What does it profit, my brothers? There's that word profit, like Paul used. He said, good works are good and profitable to everyone. James says, what does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, what does it profit? There's that word again. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. You know what he's saying there, and I've got it in your handout. The first principle we want to go over, next week we'll do part two, is first thing is this. James is teaching that you have to put feet to your faith. Put feet to your faith. In verse 14, look at it again. He says, what does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Now look at this. Can faith save him? This is one of those words that I was telling you earlier. We read our own thoughts and meaning into that word. We read into that, can faith make him a Christian? And that's not at all what he said. He didn't say, can faith make him a Christian? He's not discussing how to become a Christian. He's not discussing salvation from your sins in an eternal sense of being brought into a right relationship with God. That's not the topic. That's not what he's discussing. He's not talking about going to heaven type of saved there. The word saved just means to deliver. If I say I was out in the lake out here and I say, man, I was drowning out there in the lake. I was drowning. I mean, an alligator had me by the foot. And Pastor Rich came in and wrestled that alligator from off of me. And Pastor Rich saved me from drowning. That's all the word means. It just means to deliver. So in every context where you see the word saved, it doesn't mean to become a Christian. The word saved just means to deliver. So you have to look in the context to see what you're being delivered from. And in this sense, James is discussing how to be delivered from being unprofitable. How to be delivered and be profitable. So for example, to give you an illustration, if I'm sitting in my house sweating, it's Florida, summer heat, and I'm sweating, and I got sweat just pouring off of me. And I'm sitting in my living room, and then I say, you know what? I believe in my air conditioner unit. I believe in it. I believe that it can cool this house down and make me stop sweating. I believe. I have faith in my air conditioner unit. But I never get up off the couch. I never turn it on. And I never bump the temperature down. Is faith going to save me? In this sense, is it going to save or deliver me from sweating and stinking? No. It will not save me from the heat. I will sit there saying I have faith in my AC unit while sweating, stinking, getting nasty. My faith in my air conditioner unit is unprofitable. It won't save me. I have to put feet to my faith. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying that kind of faith isn't going to do you any good. You have to put some feet to your faith. Then he gives a great illustration. Look at verse 15. Great illustration. He's going to illustrate it. His principle. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, he says, then what does it, what? What does it profit? What does it profit? So you got a person here who does not have proper clothing and they do not have proper food. And one of you, a believer in Jesus, says, I'm paraphrasing, okay? Bless your heart. We as Christians love to say that, right? Bless your heart. I'll pray for you. In fact, you know what? Right now, let me pray a blessing over you. James says you do that, but you give them nothing that the body needs. What does it profit? How can they be saved or delivered from the naked, hungry state that they're in? And then in verse 17, he says, if you say you have faith and you put no feet to your faith, he says, then you have a dead faith. In other words, you have a verbal faith that is separated from the life-giving faith of Jesus Christ. There's no practical connection. There's no connection between your supposed faith and Jesus in your everyday life. There's a disconnect. And in the Bible, death speaks of separation. Verse 26 is a key verse to understanding the passage. It's the last verse. Look at it. It's the last verse in the chapter, and it's a key to understanding the passage. Look at verse 26. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. That's a key. Now, I want you to picture with me for a moment, picture a dead body. Rich, I'm going to have you come play that. No, I'm just kidding. Scared you there for a minute, didn't I? Sorry, brother. We don't want Rich to play a dead body too realistically, amen? But let's say that there's a body. Picture a body here and it's dead, right? So when the spirit is separated from the body is dead. Now follow me. It isn't that the body ceases to exist, right? It's still there. In fact, you can cremate it. You can bury it in a tomb. You can just put it in the ground. The DNA will always exist. But there can simply be no fruitful actions that will come from it that will bless others. Why? There is a separation of spirit and life, James said. Just like a dead body can't bless or help anyone. That dead body isn't going to bless anybody. That dead body is not going to help anybody. James says a dead faith can't help anybody either. What's the point of this illustration that James is making? When our faith is not accompanied by good works, it's not that our faith ceases to exist. That seed of faith from when you trusted Jesus remains, but it's of no practical use. There are no fruitful actions. There's no way it's going to bless others. Oh, it may be there, but like a dead body, it lies dormant inside of you. It can't bless anyone when that faith is separated from good works. It's a dead faith. Faith has no practical implication at all in your life if all you have is the label Christian. Faith has no practical implication if all you have is the label Christian. No, we don't just want the label Christian. We want to be Christ followers. Because a Christ follower indicates action, good works, blessing others. I want to bless others like Christ did. I want to be a Christ follower. In your handout, it says that an active, growing faith in the living Christ blesses others. That's what James is trying to say. If you have an active, growing faith in Jesus, you're going to bless others. It demonstrates itself. How? If I've got a living faith in Jesus and I'm walking daily and growing in my faith, then what's going to happen? I'm going to love others. I'm going to care for others. I'm going to be generous with other people. Fruit of the Spirit. We studied it last year. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. Look back at Hebrews real quick. Go back to the left a couple pages. Just go to the left to Hebrews, the book right before James, and go back to chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great example here of putting feet to your faith. Hebrews 11. I encourage you to read the whole chapter this week, Hebrews 11. It's all about putting feet to your faith. What is faith? I don't know what's going on here. Colin, are you here? Do I need to go to a different one, or are we okay? Think we're okay? Where was I? So what is faith? Well, faith is not spooky. Faith is simply trust. If I say I have faith in my wife, that means I trust her. If I say I have faith in Pastor Rich, it means I trust him. If you say I have faith in my coworker, means you trust them. If you say, man, you know what? I got faith in my teenager. That's kind of one of those misnomers, right? But I have faith in my teenager. Means you trust them. Faith is trust. So God says, build an ark because there's a flood coming. Faith trusts God. How? By sitting around saying, yeah, I believe God, there's a flood coming, gonna be a doozy. Well, are you going to build an ark? Well, no, kind of hated to go that far. But I do believe God. No, that's no. True faith is trust. And so true faith does what? If God says build an ark, what does true faith do? Builds an ark. Look at verse 7, Hebrews 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, notice faith is the lead dog, right? Remember the illustration? Faith's always in the lead. By faith, so that's what made him do it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned about things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to save his family, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by what? By faith. What's the lead dog? What's leading the way right there in Noah's life? His faith. But what did faith result in? Good works. Namely, what did he do? He built an ark. He trusted God. That's faith. The reason why all these people in Hebrews 11 are in the hall of faith is because their faith, their trust in God, was demonstrated by good works. Actually doing what God said to do. Look at verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Now again, what's leading the way there? Tell me, what's leading the way in Abraham's life? His what? Faith. His faith. But what did faith cause him to do? By faith, Abraham what? Faith caused him to obey. When he was called to go out into a place which he would later receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he dwelt in the promised land. All right. I'm going to put a caboose on this. That means I'm about to end. And here's how I want to end this. I want to apply this to our lives. What we learn from James today. In verses 14, 15, 16, 17 of James chapter 2, what have we learned? Here's what we learned. Are there some, and this is how you apply the Bible. See, it's one thing to understand the text. It's another thing to apply it. God wants us to understand it, but then God wants us to apply it. And how do we apply this? Well, here's how we apply it. Are there some areas of your life? Don't think about your wife. Don't think about your teenager. Don't think about your husband. And don't think about your kids. And don't think about your mom or dad. Don't think about anyone else. Think about you. Are there some areas in your life where you are struggling to trust God and do what you know he wants you to do? Are you struggling to trust God because there's some things that he wants you to stop doing that you need to stop? Are there areas where you know the right thing to do? You're just struggling with the doing. James said, be a doer of the word. Remember chapter 1, not just a hearer only. Your faith in Jesus is not just about you trusting him as your Savior. Your faith in Jesus is not just about the day you got saved in the sense of brought into a right relationship with God and delivered from eternal destruction. That's the deliverance when you get saved. That's the salvation when you get saved. No, there's a daily saving. There's a daily deliverance from sin. There's a daily deliverance from the power of sin. There's a daily salvation and delivering. And so, your Christian life is not just about trusting him to be your Savior. In your handout, it says, he wants your faith and trust to extend daily into every area of your life. Yep, Friday and Saturday night too. Yep, at work, too. Yep, at home, too. Yep, when you're out of town by yourself, too. He wants you to walk in faith with him, trusting him daily, at work, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your finances, in your decisions, in your actions, in your attitudes. When you're with Christians and when you're with non-Christians, your faith is in Jesus, and you're like, you know what? No matter the circumstance, no matter the problem, no matter the trial, in every situation, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to be a Christ follower. I'm going to walk by faith in him, and I'm going to do what he would have me to do. And James says we have to put feet to our faith if we're going to have a profitable faith. Do what you know God wants you to do. It's a great illustration to end this. I thought about this when I was preparing this. Moses leads an entire nation, all the Israelites, out of the slavery of Egypt. Million people plus. Leads them out of slavery. They come to the Red Sea. They got no way to get across. So they can't go forward and they can't go backward because Pharaoh the king is chasing them and has changed his mind. He's going to either kill them or bring them back in slavery. So they can't go back. They can't go forward. And he's standing there crying out to God, telling Israel, we got to trust God. We got to have faith. God parts the Red Sea. Like, yeah, there's a little image there. And so the Bible says there's a wall on both sides. And now Israel has a path to go across. Moses is sitting there praying, having a prayer meeting, crying out to God, we got faith. And read it sometime. God looks down and God says, why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. I love that. God says, Moses, quit having a prayer meeting. Quit crying out to me. Put some feet to your faith and get into that sea and get across. Put some feet to your faith, man. Go! Why do you stand there and cry out to me? Go! Don't you kind of get the feeling that's what James is saying? James is saying, well, okay, yeah, you say you got faith. Go. Do it. Do what God wants you to do, man. Because just standing around talking about your love for Jesus and your faith in Jesus isn't going to cut it. It's not going to get the job done. It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to profit you. It's not going to profit anybody else. He said, man, you got to put some feet to your faith. And he gives that illustration. If somebody's naked and they got no food and you say, well, I got faith. I'm going to pray for you that God's going to hear me and answer my prayer. And I'm going to pray a blessing over you. He said, but you don't help them. How's that going to help any? How's that going to profit? Put some feet to your faith. Yes, we need to trust God. But people are in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11, because by faith, boom, they did the good works and did what God wanted them to do. Do y'all see how they go hand in hand? That's just part one. Next week we'll come back and do part two. And we're going to finish chapter two, okay? So let's just pray right now and ask God to speak to our hearts right now.